My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, welcome back to Character Concerns Podcast on the radio. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, Julio Sanchez producing operations. That's right. Tuesday of draft week. Drafts and drafts with Nick, MC, yes, and the whole deal.
That man's everywhere. He's everywhere.
He is
doing everything.
But now it's time to talk NFL draft like I did a lot last year. His name is Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros. And Thor was the 34th ranked mocker last year. Congratulations on that, by the way, Thor.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
Hey, thank you for doing the interview and talking about this nationally. I know you're busy this time of year, but you did a nice mock two-round with all the players and their comparison. You did a comparison, yeah, with each player. And you did Will McDonald at 31, the edge from Iowa State, saying Julian Peterson was his closest player to him, and you at Marvin Mims, who you went to Santonio Holmes. I do love the Marvin Mims pick.
Yeah, Marvin Mims is super underrated, and it's all based on contextual things outside of his control, which is the last 2 years at Oklahoma, it was an offensive environment unlike they had seen the several years before that. Obviously, in 2021, Spencer Rattler goes into the tank the beginning of that year. Lincoln Riley seemed to have one foot out the door the entire campaign, then the true freshman at the very end, and then last year is just a joke on offense because Riley's gone. Then you hired the Clemson defensive coordinator. A lot of the players transferred out. They had to bring in a lot of transfer portal guys, whatnot. The offensive environment just went against Marvin Mims. But Marvin Mims, everybody out there knows that Texas has the best high school football in the nation. Look up who the all-time leader in Texas prep history is in receiving yards. It is Mr. Marvin Mims. You will find his name. Then as a true freshman at Oklahoma for Lincoln Riley, he was a stud that year, coming in right away. Then the last 2 years, like I said, went against him a little bit, but he has, and the other thing is he has sort of a wonky profile as far as like a smaller receiver. He's just a killer downfield, but the latter statement is correct. Like, that's just a fact. He's proven that all 3 years in college, 35% or more of his usage came on balls that were 20 plus yards in the air downfield. And he dominated during that usage. Like, if you were to put the top 10 catches for every receiver in this class together and then poll the public, who has the most impressive best 10 catchers, Marvin Mims would win in a landslide. Like, his circus catchers downfield are absolutely incredible. He had one last year, I think it was against Texas Tech. He caught a ball behind a kid, one-handed, where you're like wondering, like, how did he even see that ball? And even if he did see it, how did that end up in his hands where he caught that, whatever? He just has some of these crazy ones. And then he goes out and he tests really, really well. He's a smaller receiver that, like I said, killer downfield, but has also proven the concept that he can play on the outside. So he's super underrated. If he's there at the end of the second round, Chiefs don't take that wide receiver in the first round. I think you got to think about him.
Thor, when you look at the wide receivers, you know, you hear about the one first-round grade on these guys, which I don't really care about because some NFL teams only have 12 first-round grades on anybody, 12 to 20. I do think there's going to be a run on them in the 20s from 20 to 31. When you look at the wide receivers, are you really buying the hype that there's only one receiver with a first-round grade?
Well, I mean, it's a two-part answer. I don't agree with people that say that there's less than, this year it'd be 31, usually it's 32. you have a first round grade on the top 32 guys on your board, in my opinion. People want to do the, you know, just arbitrary designations with that. But if you were sitting at 32 and your top 13 guys were gone, you have a first round pick by definition. 32nd guy on your board or whatever as a first round grade, in my opinion. But like, as far as like the receiver class itself, there's the four guys there. I have a different wide receiver one than some other folks do. JSN at this point is the consensus wide receiver one, but he doesn't have the superstar ceiling, in my opinion. So I actually have Quentin Johnson, a guy that we know well from the Big 12, as my wide receiver one. He's the one guy in this class that has that size athleticism combination that is a killer downfield that we know can play on the boundary, can beat press coverage, et cetera, where he has the ceiling of that true NFL wide receiver one. But the reason this class is lower than, you know, these receiver class we've seen the last 3, 4, or 5 years, you just don't have those tier one receivers, certainly the sure things of it. So in this class, you have the one guy that could be in Johnson. If he polishes off a couple things of this game, then you have the stud receiver in JSN. And then both Flowers and Addison should be good complementary receivers. But I don't think anybody projects either guy like a superstar NFL player.
One of the things that interests me is how you're seeing these positions for wide receivers change so much, and especially specifically for a guy like Jalin Hyatt, who a lot of people have the Chiefs taking at 31 or even trading up for. But this week you started to see, I know in your mock you have him going 57. I think Mel Kiper had him going in the mid-second round. What is it about Jalin Hyatt that's causing him to start to fall down some boards?
People watching his game film, I've been a Jalin Hyatt truther. I don't know if you call it truther when you're lower on it. That, you know, this entire draft process, I think people are finally actually starting to watch him on, like, they had never seen him before. So, like, this is just reality. Him being a first-round pick or whatever, that was not reality. That, like, the way that he won, by the way, he only won 1 year in college. He's a one-year wonder, one-trick pony, where the only routes that he wins on, it's the 9 routes deep. And so, like, he has to be this absolutely incredible athlete. He goes to the NFL Combine. He runs a tenth of a second higher than his prop line at the sports books. He was listed at 4.3 flat. He runs a 4.4 flat. And then you watch, like I said, you watch his game film or whatever. Every single time he was winning on them 9 routes, it was when he had not only the free release, it was he had the 10-yard head start against, you know, inevitably a strong safety that they had put in the nickel and just played off of him or whatever. So he never got pressed in college. And he also had the free releases were just a given. But like I said, on most of the routes where he won deep, he had this free runway in front of him. And so, like, if you look at his production profile, there's only 5 games this past season, his only good season, where he went ballistic. Number one, it was when he was running past DeMarco Helms at Alabama. DeMarco Helms was one of the worst Power 5 coverage safeties in the entire nation last year. He's a box safety who can't run in coverage. He's not fluid at all. He doesn't have foot speed. That's an easy one. He had a 10-yard head start on DeMarco Helms. If you're on the 4.4s, you're going to run by him. The other games where Jalin Hyatt went nuts, it was Akron, Tennessee Martin, an FCS team, and then he got Kentucky and Missouri, I believe, were the other two. Those were the 5 games where he went nuts. Interestingly, it was those games all occurred after Cedric Tillman, the better receiver and the better prospect in the Tennessee receiving corps, after he got injured. I'm not a believer in Jalin Hyatt whatsoever.
So, Thor, when you look at these receivers, I made this point as well that, you know, we could be looking at more production from receivers 4 through 8 than 1 through 4. I mean, when you take the Rashee Rices of the world, I'm a big fan of Mingo at Ole Miss. You look at Tyler Scott that's getting some run from Cincinnati. We're looking at some Marvin Mims. You throw him in that category. And Cedric Tillman, you throw these guys in the second group. Is there any possibility you look at this like me and think, okay, maybe the 4 through 8 receivers are better than 1 through 4?
Yeah, it's entirely possible, yeah. Like if Quentin Johnson, like if he doesn't hit his ceiling, you know, he just becomes like the pop-to-top number two guy, but like, you know, doesn't become the star. If JSN is relegated to the slot, like some of us believe, if Jordan Addison has to be kicked to the slot, Jordan Addison was way better in the slot at Pitt than he was on the boundary at USC last year. And then the second tier, if you want to put it like that, really, I think it's the third tier because I think the problem with this receiver class is it just doesn't have a first tier. But the tier below that, those guys, their profiles aren't too dissimilar, or they aren't too far off from some of those guys. It might be a guy that has an athletic thing that dropped him down there. It might be a guy like Josh Downs, who had the metric ton of production at UNC, but he's a smaller receiver who only played in the slot, different stuff like that. Like, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if some of those guys in the secondary in the third tier or whatever, if they all played one of those guys who went in the first round.
Which position do you think has is the deepest in this draft class?
Might be cornerback. This is a really good cornerback class, especially if you want one of those long outside press man corners. This class has a ton of those guys. The other one I would say is the trenches on both sides of it. It's another good defensive front class, specifically on the edge, in my opinion. And the last one I toss out as far as offense goes is running back. Everybody knows Bijan and then, Jahmyr Gibbs, whatnot. But even after that, I think it's really good. My running back, too, is actually Zach Charbonnet of UCLA, who I think is super underrated. Yeah. I think he's going to be a starting NFL bell cow next year and then for the next, seven or eight, whatever, plus. But then, even beyond that, going into day three, you have all these different guys for, depending on the backfield you need. As far as a complimentary guy, there's a lot of teams that will be looking for him. I know you guys root for one of them where they're going to be looking for a complimentary running back on day three. You guys will fit him with Pacheco probably. There's a whole lot of guys that fit that profile depending on the starter that you have right now and the guy that you need to complement his skill set.
You brought up a guy I really like, Zach Charbonnet out of UCLA. You comp him to Todd Gurley. I think he's going to be great at the NFL level. One of the things that is really interesting, I was reading something on ESPN earlier about the value of running back and, the argument for or against taking a running back in the first round. Obviously, that applies here with Bijan Robinson, being a guy that a lot of people are having, being taken late teens, early 20s. Do you think that he is that much better than a guy like a Zach Charbonnet to justify that pick? Or do you think it's better for a team that could use a running back to wait and get one of those guys in the second round because they'll be a better value?
For me, I wouldn't take Bijan in the top half of the first round. We just have too much data, too much information at this point to do something like that. He is one of the better running back prospects to come out since I've been doing this, 6-7 years, whatever. But like, I wouldn't even put him at Saquon's level coming out. They had a lot of similarities, but Saquon was 20 pounds heavier. So like, the Giants made a mistake with how high they took Saquon. But like, as far as Bijan goes, if I was a team that desperately needed a running back and I didn't have many other holes in the roster where I could basically write it off as sort of a luxury pick that could take me to the next level, yeah, I would take Bijan second half of the first round. He is that good. But like, yeah, I mean, like, just in general, in terms of that, I would be lower on that than, maybe some of these NFL teams, whatnot. But yeah, I take Bijan in the 20s or, early 30s, whatever. And then Charbonnet, I see him as a top half of the second round guy. I have Gibbs right around there, but just a little bit behind him. And, I think you just have to value the position and what you need in the other holes on your roster, but not a priority position for me. And I would certainly be in the camp of no second contracts for running backs.
And Thor, you really go tight end heavy in the second round. Is that kind of where you think the run begins once the Chiefs pick at 31?
As far as tight ends go?
Yeah, as far as tight end, yeah. Tight end runs. Seems like you love even the Tucker Kraft, Sam LaPorta, all those guys going to boom in the second round.
Yeah, the tight end class, I think I neglected to mention the tight end class, which was a mistake on my part earlier when you asked about the best class in this draft, because tight end would be right up there as far as best position groups. I think there's going to be two tight ends in the first round. Some people think there's going to be three. I don't think Darnell Washington ends up going in the first round just because we haven't seen the receiving profile with him. He only had two catches, 20-plus yards downfield his entire career, and he broke less tackles over his entire career than the Dalton Kincaid and Sam LaPorta did last season alone. His drop rate in college is also over 10%. So for those reasons, I think he's going in round two, but he's one of the better blocking tight ends that we've had come out like in recent years or whatever. Coming out of high school, there was programs trying to convince him, Darnell, play offensive tackle in college. We'll take the year. We'll add 20 pounds to you, and you could be a really high draft pick in that. He wanted to play tight end. But, yeah, I think he's going to go early second round for those reasons. He certainly has the athletic profile where teams are going to dream on it. But then right after that, you got Musgrave, you have LaPorta, you have Kraft. Those guys are all just really good tight end prospects. And like you mentioned, the league is going to more 12 personnel anyway. There's a whole bunch of teams where even if they have their one tight end, they don't have the second one. So those guys are going to be prioritized. I think all those guys have a good shot of going at least by the end of round two. But if not, there's going to be five at least in those first two rounds, but Kraft has a shot to slip into that second round.
Yeah, this guy, I like this.
You really do like him. So going on to the third day here, there are a lot of prospects that we see come out of the third day for teams that help them win championships. Who's the one player you think could be the biggest steal on day three of the draft?
Well, let's stick at running back, because one of those guys you're mentioning was one of the last picks of the last draft, and he helped the team win a Super Bowl last year. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that player, Mr. Pacheco. Let's stay with running back. I think the sleeper of this running back class for day three is Evan Hull of Northwestern.
Stud.
Very similar, in terms of coming out of the Big Ten in really bad offensive environments. That's the reason that people slept on Pacheco. He had the obvious explosion on film the few times he was able to get into space. But boy, was that hard running behind that rancid Rutgers offensive line when they didn't have any passing attacks. Every time Pacheco's on the field, they just key on him. But you've seen all that stuff play out at the combine. And again, you'd seen the flashes of it on film in those few occurrences where it did happen, where he's able to get into space. Evan Hull, it's a similar scenario where the rancid Big Ten environment he's coming out of, it's Northwestern. But Evan Hull, he's the most diverse wide receiver weapon as far as a running back in this class. You can line him up outside. He had one of the highest percentages of snaps on the outside in this class, one of the highest percentages in the slot. Receiving yards, receptions, A dot. You just go down the line of all those metrics. Evan Hull is near the top. He also runs the clean routes out of the backfield, very reliable hands. He's also a super-duper underrated runner, and he's also a super underrated athlete, although he's proved the concept of the athleticism. People were saying, beforehand he's going to run a 4.6 or whatever. That was nonsense. That was based on things that weren't on his film, based on other stuff, whatever. On film, you could see it when he would get into space. He had the wheels. And also, he happened to grow up not far from where I am right now in Minnesota. He's a Maple Grove kid. He was a track star in high school. So the athleticism was always there. But like I said, he's an underrated runner, too. He sent his enemies at the gate right away, which he had to at Northwestern, because outside of Skoronski, the rest of their offensive line stunk. So there was always immediate penetration. And he'd do the thing of getting flat down the line, get lateral, and then bust it around the edge, whatever. He has that stuff. He has the short area explosion, different stuff like that, the lateral agility. I think he's going to be the sleeper in this running back class.
Yeah, he had 913 yards rushing this year, but 55 catches for a 9.9 yard average. So he really extended that passing game. Thor Nystrom, nice enough to join us this year like he did last year. Follow him at Fantasy Pros for great stuff. He's got his two-round mock draft and player comps on that as well. Thor, thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate you, boys. Always good talking to you.
You too. There's Thor Nystrom right there. Coming next, though, let's react to some of Thor Nystrom's thoughts there, including tight ends. We really need to start getting into the tight
end. Yeah, we need to start talking about tight ends. Yeah.
Thor has the tight ends just rolling off the board in the second round.
Yeah,
which,
I know, right?
Which that could be when it happens.
I think it's very likely.
It could be when it happens. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bink, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
And welcome back to Character Concerns. Jay Binkley with Kristen Osero. Julio Sanchez producing operation. Nick Short back with us for the podcast that's released each and every Tuesday. The draft week's going to be incredible. Tuesday, it starts with Landing in Liberty. Nick Schwartz going to be emceeing a deal. We're going to have Nate Taylor down there, Mitch Schwartz, and a special guest. We have that. Then, of course, Friday we'll be down at Cinderblock Brewery.
Yep.
For rounds 2 and 3. And, of course, all hands on deck for the first round of the NFL draft. The Royals moving the Alt 96.5 that night.
Yes.
So we're clear. That's why we're clear the next couple weeks here because of the Royals schedule on Thursday nights. A thin schedule, so we can mix some of this in. And of course, first night of the draft, we have to be able to do the draft.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
the MLB stays off except for the draft.
I know, right? Yeah, it's a big night for us. I know we both of us are incredibly excited. Nick as well, very excited to be on the air doing this coverage here. It's going to be a lot of fun. The first round is going. I think the first round this year because there's so many questions after 15 could be very wild.
Yeah, 17 guys have committed to being at the draft, meaning you get the hug from Roger Goodell. Kansas City's going crazy for this. It's the largest footprint of any draft so far. We're talking, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. They're calling for maybe upwards of 300,000 people at the draft here.
I think it'll be a decent amount over 300.
I've already seen the airport. They have these signs out there. They've already got the draft inside the airport for signs, you know, things coming up in your city.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's what you like to see. It gets you excited when you see that kind of stuff going on in Kansas City as far as seeing the draft at the airport.
Yeah, I'm the first round is going to be wild here, especially because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Is going to be wild, and it's going to be really good because since they're going to be picking 31, those Chiefs fans are going to get there and they're going to stick around for a while.
As Cameron Taylor from KSHB had tweeted out, over 300,000 fans are expected in the 3 days, 125 million in total event impact, 10 million in local taxes in 3 days. You could say it's a big hit, the biggest event for Kansas City so far. The NFL draft stage will be one of the largest ever built. Organizers say it'll be the same size as an NFL field.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. Biggest stage they've ever had in draft history. Going to look great. I'm sure we're going to get a bunch of photos. You know, the cliched Union Station downtown skyline photo. We'll get a bunch of those.
That's becoming the arch of Kansas City.
It is. Union Station is becoming the most recognizable thing here because everyone takes that skyline, cliched photo.
You got to have it in the skyline now because of the parades for the Royals and the two Chiefs parades. It's been about Union Station, and now the draft is there. So it's becoming, you know, that and the World War One Museum just all together.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Become a huge part of what Kansas City is.
Yeah, that and the Scout, too. The Scout is another one of the cliched images that you see about the city. So it'll be really fun seeing the impact this will have on the city, and it'll just be really fun seeing all the fans out there enjoying and all the other fans for the 31 teams in there watching their team have no chance at winning a Super Bowl.
Well, you've seen, I'm so glad they decided to move the draft around. Big props to Kathy Nielsen, president and CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission. He joined us on the Character Concerns
right a few weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago. Big and instrumental in bringing this, as well as the Kansas City Chiefs and Mark Donovan, bringing this to Kansas City. I mean, all the way from Chicago, being visitors there, you know, putting forth the effort, getting the draft, even though the airport wasn't done at the time. Not even close to done when we got the draft.
No.
But, of course, it is now. Nashville had 600,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
A record.
I believe it will be more than what they got in Nashville. I think it's because there's going to be a lot of Kansas City people there. You know how many people at the parade? It's like 1.1 million.
Oh, I think it's going to be so many people from Kansas City want to go down there.
Tons of people from Kansas City.
But you got to count the people coming down from Des Moines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's going to be a ton of people. There's a ton of people driving in. There's going to be a bunch of people driving in.
Oklahoma City.
A bunch of people here.
St. Louis didn't have any damn things.
Yeah, they don't have a team over there. They got the Battle Hawks, so they'll probably come over.
Denver's too pissed at Kansas City getting all the events, including the World Cup.
They'll probably still come here and talk trash on us.
Yeah, maybe.
Talk trash on our city.
But over $100 million in revenue expect the city being the number one event that we have in Kansas City. I'm so glad they decided to move this around. It's hard to believe this is in Kansas City.
I know.
Especially when you start seeing those renderings, like the Airport 80 NFL draft coming.
Right.
2 weeks away. 2 weeks from this Thursday.
I know. Just, it's flying by. We've been doing this podcast for like a month, and it's just flying by. Seeing all, actually, no, we've been doing it for a month and a half.
I think we could even get that 600,000. It's just 300,000 minimum at this point.
Yeah, I think it's a very conservative estimate. I think we're going to beat that 600,000.
Well, we could. I mean, look at the parade and all the people went down, but it seems like every single person wants to be a part of the NFL draft, and hopefully we'll bring you a big taste of that Thursday night.
Right, right. And then once we get done on Saturday morning, I'll try to sneak in there in the afternoon. Try to go check out some of the events.
Well, you've
got
the red carpet Thursday night. Dusty will be down there.
Yes.
Dustman.
Yeah, he'll be out there doing the hard work, talking to all the people that he can. So I'm excited about that.
Never know what's going to happen.
I'll
never forget sitting in this room in 2017 when the Chiefs traded up and you knew it was going to be one of two people, Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, and a lot of you wanted Deshaun Watson.
Hey, Bink, who did you predict?
Mahomes, okay. Yeah.
Just in case anybody hadn't heard that.
There was excitement the Chiefs were getting a quarterback. There was a genuine
excitement. There was a lot of excitement there.
Now somebody to throw it to Tyreek Hill.
I was at a wrestling show and we had it on my phone when the Chiefs, like we were looking at it like nine, okay. Still a ways away from the Chiefs pick. And then at 10, that's when it's like Chiefs have traded for the 10th overall pick. I was like, oh, well, here's our quarterback right here. And I was like, it's Deshaun Watson. And then next thing you know, Patrick Mahomes. And everybody at the show was like watching their phones, and so when they picked Mahomes, everyone's like, "Oh, we got a quarterback!" It was really funny watching that.
Think about everything that's changed this perception of the city.
Yeah,
perception of this football team having Patrick Mahomes ever since the Buffalo Bills were kind enough, and you might as well use that kind enough to give the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, they got
to regret
it. They ended
up with Josh Allen a year later. But you know what? They would take Mahomes in a second. Listen to them. Yeah. Whatever they say.
I know that they'll say, we love Josh Allen. We would not want any other quarterback.
But that might be the biggest moment ever in Kansas City sports history. 100%
guarantee you they regret that.
Well, think about this. Since the night they drafted Mahomes, he spent that 1 year behind Alex Smith, which had to be incredibly difficult for the coaching staff, knowing what Mahomes was doing. But here's this guy on the football field doing these crazy things that was going to win the NFL MVP the next season. But as a starter, five straight trips to the AFC title game, all in Kansas City, in my lifetime. I saw one that was at 93 season, the 94 AFC title game in Buffalo, and there was so much excitement around the city, but that was the one time, and I'm talking having miserable season tickets in the 80s, taking the bus down there and everything else, but they have five of these where Mahomes is now taking you to three Super Bowls, so it's no longer just watching other teams, betting on other teams when you gather, you know, with your friends and family to watch a Super Bowl. You're watching the Chiefs in this game. Think about everything that's changed. Two Super Bowls, well, you've been to three, but you've won two. You've had the two parades because of Patrick Mahomes being in Kansas City. That is how important draft night is.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to go down
change
as like
the whole look that, of the city.
That trade is going to go down as one of the most monumental trades, especially if the Bills never win a Super Bowl with Josh Allen. It'll go down as one of the most monumental trades
Buffalo move
in the league, in league history.
And then the fact they got Orlando Brown from the Ravens when they didn't have a left tackle. You have your own opinions on Orlando Brown. But the guy was a serviceable starter, started 2 years ago.
Very serviceable. Serviceable is the right word for him.
And they won a Super Bowl with him. But not only that, they sent pick 58 with it as well, which turned into Nick Bolton. So, yes, you got Nick Bolton out of that deal, too.
Yeah, you got your best player in your linebacking core there. So, and he helped you win a Super Bowl with that fumble return for a touchdown.
It's Brett Veach, baby. It's what we're talking about. You got to do it in the draft. You got to do it in trades. You got to do it anywhere, Julio. 300,000 people. You know you'll be one of them, Julio. I know you got a baby coming, but I know you'll be down there.
I'm going to make time for this.
Why not? You have to. Like,
you name your kid draft.
No, don't do that.
I mean, it's kind of catchy.
It's not. No, it's not.
Don't know if that's going to be allowed.
No.
Little Jalen?
She will not let you name your kid. No. She will not let you. It's veto immediately.
Plus, that sounds like more of a boy's name than a girl's.
Yeah, it does sound like a boy's name.
Go both.
Could be unisex.
I named my daughter Spike, so.
Is that what?
I named my daughter Spike, so okay. Who cares?
Okay.
Girls, boys, didn't matter.
No, he can't do that.
You pick one name and you stick with it.
It'll get shot down immediately.
Spike. Great name for a girl. Absolutely love it. Coming up next, though, we're back to the fourth round of our mock draft. The pick after Deuce Vaughn. Where do we go next for the Kansas City Chiefs?
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bink, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Character Concerns. Jay Binkley with Chris Nocero, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Nick will join us for our Character Concerns podcast coming up on Tuesday. We might just keep that bad boy rolling all year, you know? The draft is a gift that keeps on giving.
It is.
What Clark Griswold say all year round.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to talk about. I mean, it's football.
You both have issues. That's not true.
We don't have character concerns. We don't have really. I mean, Bink,
appropriately named.
Bink kind of.
I've got a few.
Podcast.
Bink's got a few.
I've got a few.
Name of the kid Spike.
Year-round draft talk. What's wrong with you two?
Hey, we're football guys.
You know, that's fun. Like watching college football Saturdays.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, man. Our late friend Trez Paler. You know, sitting there.
He was a football head.
Checked this guy out. The old juice team just texting him back and forth. And,
he was a football head. You watch this guy.
I mean, yeah. It's so much fun.
He was a football head.
You miss that guy. It's this time of year, this Trez season, man.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where he specialized right here.
More NFL general managers looked at his old juice team. And the Chiefs went on a run with drafting
they did.
Juice guys.
They did.
Like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, they had a lot of juice guys on their team.
Yeah, so Trez with his all juice team. That was, yeah,
he had an eye for talent.
Yes,
it was always fun listening to him talk about football.
He loved doing it. Absolutely loved the NFL draft and everything. And so, man, I wish he could be here for this.
Yeah.
Man, I wish he could be here.
Oh, man. It'd be great if we could have him on here talk. Oh, man, that'd be great.
Mm. He'd be all over it. Round four. Pick 122, because the Chiefs have two picks in the fourth round. I don't think they'll keep both picks in the fourth round, Chris.
I think it's very possible they could use one or both to move up.
You went Deuce.
I went Deuce.
You went Deuce Vaughn, and a lot of people like this pick. It's funny, it's so split. Some people obviously hate it. They loathe it, and some people
I understand.
Love it.
I mean, I understand.
Some people absolutely love it.
I think a lot of hatred.
This is going to be coming inherently from his heart, what kind of player he is.
I think the reason why a lot of people don't like the Deuce pick is because of Clyde. Because they're like, oh, you drafted.
But that was a first rounder.
Yeah, I understand. But I think there's a little bit of hangover about the Clyde pick. And even though, again, three rounds difference, significant change, you know, difference there, I think a lot of it is that part of it is also his size. Because he's 5'5", 179, you know, little dude. You don't see very many guys that are under 5'8" playing running back or playing in the league in general, so I understand. But there's a reason why this guy is in the draft in the first place.
So round four, the second pick, it's pick 134 for the Chiefs. They had pick 122 in the fourth round as well. Pick 134 is the second to last pick. In the fourth round, it's essentially a fifth-round pick. New England, the last pick in that round. Chiefs, second-to-last pick in that round. This is a guy that Chris wanted. This
guy I wanted Chris him wanted,
but Nick, you know,
he gave me a promise. He promised that he'd still take this guy.
And there was a run on tight ends. And getting this guy at this position is great value because, let's be honest, when all said and done, he could end up being people look at him as a second rounder.
Yes.
At this third rounder, at the least, with Zach Kuntz, the tight end from Old Dominion. Yes, Old Dominion, the team that went 3-9 last year. Not a lot of visibility, but he's 6'7", 255 pounds, ran a 4.55 40. Nick went this, you would have gone the same direction.
This is the guy
I went tight in the second round the first month.
Right, right. You took Tucker Kraft out of South Dakota State. So this was the guy I was going to take originally with the first fourth round pick. But Nick promised me, and he fulfilled that promise that he would take him if he was available because he thought that the value would be there at the end, at pick 134. I trusted him. He made the move. He was there. He took him. So Zach Kuntz, he's a former Penn State commit. Who was very highly coveted,
didn't quite work out there at Penn State, injury issues. And then I believe it was the former offensive coordinator there, left the school, went to become the head coach at Old Dominion, took Zach Kuntz with him. We see that a lot in college sports. Coaches leave, go somewhere else. They take some players with them. Kuntz was the guy that he took with them. Kuntz is incredibly athletic, if you didn't get that message from Bink already. 4.55, 40-yard dash. He tested incredibly well at pretty much every test.
Extremely long range.
Just amazing. He's got great catch radius. He's very fast, obviously.
And the Chiefs like 12 personnel.
They love, and it's not so much like him playing like a, you know, tight end at the end of the line. He's basically what Travis Kelce is right now. He's a guy that you can line up wide. You can play him as a wide receiver, and he is able.
Fade inside the 20 guy.
He's a guy. He can run routes. He's a guy that can beat guys in man coverage. He's a guy you can throw the ball up to, and as you just said, win those 50-50 balls. This is a guy that just does everything that the Chiefs covet out of Travis Kelce. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Travis Kelce. I'm just saying that he's got the athleticism that if he builds the skill up, he could be the heir apparent at tight end. So that's why
Noah Gray to me.
Yeah.
So to recap what we've done so far, Jalin Hyatt, the wide receiver out of Tennessee, was round one, pick 31. In the second round, Derek Hall, value. Again, Nick did a great job on getting value picks. Derek Hall there.
Tons of great value here
for the edge. Third round, Trey Palmer, the wide receiver from Nebraska, ran a 4.33 at 6 foot at the combine. Chris goes Deuce Vaughn in round four, pick 122. Nick goes Zach Kuntz, which again was a value because, you know, Chris really wanted 122, but all the tight ends were falling off the board.
They were
falling off the board at this point, but you still get one, which I think is great because, again, in 3 or 4 years, you don't want to be looking back going, why did we take a tight end?
Yeah, this is a rare.
Are you happy with Jody Fortson, Noah Gray, and Blake Bell? You happy with that room?
I mean, long term, no.
If Travis Kelce misses a game, you sweat it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think, and that's why I think it's very important for them to go and find a great athlete at that position in this draft. You don't see that many draft classes with this level of depth at that position. So this is the time to take advantage of it.
Round five, pick 166. This is my pick. And I know this is strange, and I really didn't want to do it.
I
wanted to do a defensive line. Cameron Young was still out there. A lot of people, he's mixed on him. I've seen him anywhere from the fourth round to not
fourth
even
to seventh.
At all.
Yeah, to even undrafted.
But even, like, Chet Ryder liked him, I think.
He did.
Early on. But I went Nick Saldivari from Old Dominion, once again, 3-9 football team. 6'6", 318 pounds, but he's got the versatility. He can play everywhere in the offensive line. Goes to tackle. People are thinking more. He plays guard. In the National Football League, I think this is a guy you put out there, and at his size, you put the running back behind him, even though he's got to work on the run, eating the runs as far as blocking. But, has the versatility to play tackle. Not only that, they're thinking he could have the versatility to play center as well. Basically, he's Nick Allegretti. Nick Allegretti came back to Chiefs on a one-year contract as somebody you'd have longer than that. You say, why Nick Saldivari? Well, this is Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl. He's saying he isn't a true sleeper because he got a Senior Bowl and combine invites. Most NFL teams had a fourth or fifth round grade on Saldivari in November, and sounds like he will go in the third now. So if he's last in the last three, if he gets picked on day three, that's a tremendous value. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network even said sleeper no more. Old Dominion offensive lineman Nick Saldivari in the midst of private workouts with 15 teams.
I'm telling
you. He's getting a lot of demands, nearly half the league.
Yeah.
He's doing private workouts for. But it's a guy that Reed covets, Navitz covets, that could play guard, tackle. And, hey, if you need him to step in at center for a pinch, which you don't really have to worry about that with Creed. But he could do it. It's a Nick Allegretti pick. And maybe even someone they see as a starter. They don't see Nick as a starter. He's a good backup for this football team. But Saldivari is a guy that could start. So, finally got to offensive line, which I think is a good value to pick him in the fifth.
Yeah, if you were to get him in the fifth round, he'd be an excellent value.
And I know, again, it's weird for Old Dominion.
I know you were two times in a row. But again, the big thing about him is that he's a great athlete that was at a smaller school. And then in the case of Kuntz, it's the same thing. He's a former Penn State guy, though. So I think this is where you take your shots and you get great athletes that you think you could coach up into professional players.
And by the way, this mock did get a B+ from Pro Football Focus.
It did.
It got a better score than our first time.
The only reason why it wasn't an A was because of the Jalen Hyatt pick. They gave a D minus.
Oh, see,
because they have a value of 59.
I think they're going to be wrong. Just remember this. A lot of places gave Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs a C minus.
Yes,
when they made that selection. You think Mahomes is a C minus?
Yeah.
No. Picks round six, pick 178. This is from you. You go back to edge. You go San Jose State. So again, we're not getting guys from all the bigger schools. We're just getting football players.
You want to try to say his name?
You're going Fajoco.
Viliami Fajoco, who's an edge rusher out of San Jose State. I'm the only person who said his name on our podcast. I'm the only one who's actually said his name. Nick was like, Chris, you say it. This kid is, I don't think he's going to be a starting edge rusher in the league. I think he's more likely going to be a Mike Dana type, rotational guy that can play inside, outside.
He gave you some good reps.
Yes, he is. I'll say this. I don't know if he's an athlete at the level that you would like for an edge rusher. He's got moves though. He could spin. He's got a good rip move. Like this guy does. He's got a lot of moves, and he can play inside. He can play outside. Big kid, 276, 6'3".
Chiefs love rotations.
They love the arm length in him. He's got almost 34-inch arms. He does everything that they like.
Which means batting the ball down.
Yes.
Which Chiefs were first in the league doing that.
Exactly. They love guys like him that are versatile, that have good size to them. He could probably put on a few pounds and play on the inside if they really need him to. They like moving guys around. We've talked about this all the whole time we've been doing this podcast.
Three, five, seven.
Moving guys around. Play the 3-tech, play the 5-tech, play the 7-tech. Being able to do that is so important in Spags defense, and this guy can do it.
So we go another edge. So there's two edges taken so far. I've seen some people look at this mock draft go, where's your defensive players? It's like, well, we just gave you Derek Hall's our second pick at edge, and Crisco's edge here.
Yeah.
Then round six, pick 217, back to defense. For the Character Concerns podcast, Corey Trice, the cornerback from Purdue. This wouldn't Nick Schwart made this pick. He said this was purely a value play for me. Trice is routinely being mocked in the fourth or fifth rounds. I will say this though, against this Purdue defense, that's where Trey Palmer had his big game, 237 yards.
Yeah, he smoked
this Purdue defense.
He smoked him.
And he says no brainer for me. Seems like the naked eye, the Chiefs are set at cornerback, but will Jerry Steen's contract set to expire? And the jury's still out on some of the younger players in this group. Trice could provide some quality depth late in the draft. There is nothing, and I mean nothing wrong, with taking extra cornerbacks. Again, wide receiver, cornerbacks on defense as far as a passing league. You got to be able to throw to it, and you got to be able to stop it.
I don't think you can ever have too many receivers or too many corners.
They had four rookies playing, the Chiefs did.
I think every team should take a receiver and a corner every year in the draft. I think every year. Just because of how important a position is, how important it is, how expensive the positions are becoming, I think you should take one every year. Unless you just traded a bunch of picks and you've got four picks and you got some real serious needs to address, I think every year you should take a corner and a receiver. So this is a good pick, I think.
All right, seventh round comes up for us next, and what will the Chiefs do in the seventh round? They have picks 249 and 250. In the seventh round, there's 259 selections in the draft. So it's basically at the very end of the draft. Both picks, 249 and 250, just right next to each other for the Chiefs. Back to back, do they make them or not? Because last year, the seventh round, they had success in the seventh round. Jalen Watson, who gets two interceptions in the postseason.
Isaiah Pacheco
in the seventh round. So the Chiefs do value these. People look at these as throwaway picks because the Rich Hill trade chart, these guys get one point. So trading the seventh round picks, not even like trading a pick. Which direction are we going to go? We'll tell you next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We made the switch to hip hop now.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all. Something
new. You switch it up a little bit every now and then.
What do you mean?
That was the extent of my.
You ran out of rock songs to play? I can suggest some rock songs for you. I can hook you up with some titles to play.
Hey, big shout out to Josh Klingler. He left me some. some space dust.
Yeah, he hooked you up after he stole your beer.
He stole my beer that Henry left me.
Yeah, Lake left you some beer, and he stole it. So
I didn't hear the story. Did he just, it was sitting there, and he just took it.
Yeah, he just took it. He just took his beer.
Good beer. Kling got me up. Good beer. All right, Chris, we're at round 7, pick 249. I was on the clock.
This is your pick.
You know what? It was my pick, but here's the thing. Your name's on this, too.
It is. It is. Well, your name's down by the pick. This is Jake Binkley at the end of the description.
We're all going down with the show.
This is Jake Binkley's pick.
We're all going down. So here's the deal. Andy Reid covets, as we said, he covets somebody to experience to play left tackle. That's why they traded for Juwan.
This is one of those hear me out.
Juwan Taylor.
This is one of those hear me out opinions.
It's not going to be good.
Hear me out real quick.
The quarterback that I really like that you subscribed to earlier, because I went in the sixth round.
Sixth round, Stetson Bennett.
Which I go Stetson, yeah. which
I people, like.
Some
I like
people
that
say
pick.
Fourth round, the seventh round. They, yeah,
some people think
this.
He's undrafted.
Like he was gone on this.
I like the Stetson Bennett pick.
He's got good speed because Andy Reid covets a backup with experience. It's just like with Chad Henne, because that 98-yard drive against the Jags, he delivered that pass there to beat the Browns. So it's bringing somebody in that's played in the NFL, maybe not the best, but it's played in the NFL. And do they want a veteran quarterback? And I still think one could end up here if they don't go through the draft. You know, like a Chase Daniels, somebody like that. Or Andy Dalton's gone now. So Carson Wentz is still out there.
Too expensive for the Chiefs.
No, he is, and with his experience, plus he's a TV guy now. He does a lot of NFL Network stuff. Even during the season, he did.
Well, yeah, he wasn't working.
But, so, it leads me to this. You settled on Shane Buechele. He's the guy. What, he run almost a five flat, something like that? It was 40.
I don't know Shane Buechele's 40 time.
But here's the, what was his 40 time? Was it near five?
It's definitely a five something.
It was It wasn't great. But one thing is, and I know this is silly, because you say, why are you getting a quarterback when you got Mahomes here? You got to have a backup, man. They said 4.96 for it. 4.96.
So barely below five.
But you got to have a backup because you don't want to throw your season away if your starter gets hurt. And you don't want your backup starting anyway. And nobody does in the National Football League because you don't win if your backup's playing. But I wanted the guy. The reason I chose Stetson originally was because he's played in back-to-back national titles. He's one of four quarterbacks in the history of the game to win back-to-back national titles. He was MVP in both those games, and he was SEC MVP this year. So he was gone. So I went Max Duggan, quarterback at TCU, because how tough he is. Not only that, he's almost 6'2", 6'1", almost 6'2", but he runs a 4.5. Finished second in the Heisman, but he's tough. If you want a guy to come in, get the football, pick up that first down, but he's beaten Michigan in the playoffs. So he's played in big-time games. I mean, and what happens is if you're coming in for a drive, you want somebody, and if you're not getting a veteran quarterback that's faced to fire the National Football League, give me somebody with big-game experience. I want that instead of somebody out of Stanford.
He's won one big game in his career. He lost to Kansas State in a Big 12 title game.
He beat them earlier in the year, though.
But he lost to them in the big one.
Yeah, you know,
and he got smacked by Georgia.
Can't win them all.
He got smacked. He didn't lose. He didn't lose to Georgia. He got smacked by Georgia.
That's a team game, Chris.
He got smacked. He didn't play well in that game.
Last time I checked, it's a team game. Well,
I'll say this. I agree with you on quarterback. I do think they should.
I want somebody with experience.
I think all these guys have experience.
Big game experience, not playing.
He's got one big game win in his career. I will say this. There are other quarterbacks I would much rather they take. If they don't get Stetson,
my choices are pretty thin.
If they don't take Stetson, I like Malik Cunningham at a Louisville. Duggan doesn't do it for me, but I understand where you're coming from. I agree with you. The Chiefs need a quarterback. That's a backup that they can develop long term.
Tom Brady, you know, they take Ryan Mallett, they take Matt Castle, they flip them for picks.
But like more so than anything, we saw what happened to the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. I don't want that to happen to the Chiefs.
They got Brock Purdy that just threw a dart, got the last pick in the draft.
Yeah, that's highly unlikely.
It's like, hey, you know what, Mr. Ellen, boom, Brock Purdy, he's a starter.
Yeah.
He's the starter, and we know how good the Niners were this year despite him being there. Then the last pick, that was pick 249. And Chiefs have one more pick right after that at 250. And this is your pick, Chris.
This is my guy.
And it's a local guy. Collegially, locally.
Yeah, he
was at actually.
It's Julio's guy. He plays for Julio's school. Lonnie Phelps, edge rusher out of KU.
Senior Bowl. Huge, huge year for his upside.
Yeah, he's not
the prototypical size the Chiefs like. But once they start getting, once you start getting to this range, like again, Mike Dana is not the Chiefs' prototypical size either. And you're just taking a shot in the dark. Lonnie Phelps is a guy who is in, I mean, we talk about like Nolan Smith and Adetomiwa Adebowore and Kalijah Kansi and guys like that. This guy's just as athletic as those guys.
He's got 25 sacks the last 2 years.
Yeah, like 4.5 40 speed. This kid is, he ran a 4.5 40 time, same as Zach Kuntz. And he's you know, probably not going to get, he's undersized, probably not going to get very much bigger.
Again, you're talking seventh round here.
But this is a guy that you're drafting just to take a shot in the dark. Maybe he becomes a rotational guy. He's a very strong kid. A lot of reps on the bench, 31 reps. That's Leo Chanel level reps on the bench. This is a guy that could do a lot of things for you if you develop him and he just becomes a rotational guy. He has a lot of value for you.
And it's a seventh round pick, so.
It doesn't matter. It's a seventh round pick. You're probably not going to hit on it anyway.
Well, sometimes they hit on him, sometimes they don't. Last year was a year where they actually hit on the seventh round picks. Again, to me, when you get to 249, 250, you're throwing darts to somebody you don't want to fight for with undrafted free agents.
I will
you
say
don't
this.
Fight other, you want him, them to be yours.
If Hunter Lucky were available at 250, he would be my guy.
There too.
He would be my. He was not available at 250 for us. He got drafted early in the early seventh round. That's the guy I would really want
because North Dakota State. I like his versatility. Back, tight end, wing. I mean, does everything.
He can run. He can catch. He does everything. So that would be my guy that I would like in the seventh. But he wasn't available. So let's go with a great
title MVP.
Right. So let's go with a guy who's a great athlete, great physical, great tested really well physically at the combine. So that's why I went with Lonnie Phelps. Makes perfect sense.
And the full mock there is up at 610sports.com. All three of them are actually on there as we went national. Anton Harrison was my pick in the the old 31 picks.
1.5.
In the first 1.5 was him. We'll take a time when we come back. I want to go back to this tight end. Thor was talking about the tight ends. I do see tremendous value. Not all the tight ends, some of the tight ends. We discuss that next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.